Thank you for joining me. I'm Kimberly Rogers, and you're listening to the Torah portion for April 28, 2012, from sundown to sundown. This Torah portion is brought to you by themessianicmessage.com. I hope that you enjoy this teaching. This year we have a double Torah portion called Tazria and Metzora. It's Leviticus 12, verse 1 to chapter 13, verse 59. The Haftarah is 2 Kings 4, starting at verse 42 to chapter 5, verse 19. And the Brit Hadashah is Matthew 8, verses 1 to 4. And I would like to go to a word of prayer. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech haolam. Blessed are you, O Lord my God, King of the universe and Creator of all things. Holy is your name, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May you regather the exiles, Abba, and bring Yeshua's kingdom to the earth. I pray for the peace of Israel and for Jerusalem to be protected and for you to provide and protect for your people in Israel. And I pray for your people all over the earth, but Lord, your will be done, not my will. I pray for this Torah portion that you have given me the insights, Abba, that you have given me the words to speak, and I pray that I will please you in this teaching of this Torah portion. I pray that everything I say will be from you and of you, by you, for you, and about you. May it all be for, by, and about you, Abba. I thank you for Yeshua and for our daily bread that you provide for us every day. And I just ask that you be with every one of your believers, wherever they are, in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Okay, well, these two Torah portions, Tazria and Metzora, are associated with leprosy, but they contain some incredible mysteries. The laws of clean and unclean are the most detailed of all the laws aside from the sacrifices. Now, most people don't understand the laws of clean and unclean, and I think most people are scared to death of the laws of clean and unclean, as if, you know, they're afraid they're not going to do them right. But not understanding these laws is understandable. They are foreign to us. We weren't taught this, so it is understandable for us to feel this way when we're first learning about them. But I am not going to teach about the laws and how to apply them. I'm going to teach about the deep mysteries that are associated with these laws. And I just want to say that being afraid of the laws of clean and unclean is not needed. But I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't want to also, get into the scholars' various opinions about what biblical leprosy is, because there are as many opinions as there are scholars on this topic. However, I will tell you something about it at the end of this teaching. Now, I want to add in a little bit of brevity this week. This is a gal by the name of Jennifer Traeg, and she recorded this for Godcast. So I'm going to play this little ditty for you. I think it's a great short explanation of Tazria.
It's possible that Tazria is the grossest and weirdest parsha in the whole Torah. Universally dreaded by B'nai Mitzvah kids, it's full of boils, fungal infections, rashes, and sore sprouting hair. It's hard to know what to make of it. Tazria starts with a brief discussion on purification after childbirth. Then, without much of a segue, it quickly moves to skin problems. This parsha, it seems, is brought to you by pimple cream. Unfortunately, the biblical kind of problem skin can't be solved by a call to a 1-800 number for a facial scrub. Nobody's exactly sure, in fact, what kind of problem skin it was. It's a skin disease that's called Sara'at, and it's usually translated as leprosy, but that's not right either. It's a little like scaly psoriasis, and a little like spotty vitiligo, but it's neither, and rabbis tell us it only existed in biblical times. Another thing that only existed in biblical times, the priests were the dermatologists. That must have been just mortifying. It's embarrassing enough having to go to Dr. Birnbaum when you get a bad breakout. Imagine having to take it to your rabbi. The rest of the parsha tells us how the priest diagnosed various skin conditions and fungi. Some were pronounced clean and you were sent on your way. Others were deemed unclean and required treatment. But instead of prescribing tea tree masks and exfoliants, the priest prescribed isolation. If you had a particularly bad case, you had to tear your clothes, cover your upper lip, uncover your head, proclaim, "Unclean, unclean," then go live outside the camp for a while. It's hard not to see this treatment as a little extreme. Isn't having the funny-looking rash punishment enough? Do you really have to make yourself look even worse, announce your impurity, then go live alone in the wilderness? Well, yes, the rabbis explain, because this particular rash is not just a rash. Sara'at was the punishment for the sin of gossip. You say something crummy, and the next thing you know, you're covered in white spots and headed on an extended solo camping trip. Isolation is necessary, but not for the reason you think. It's not the rash that's contagious. It's the gossip. Fortunately, both are treatable. So you go off for a while, and it's lonely, but then you're healed. And after a purification ritual, you can come back to your community. And happily, there's still a nice, healthy, functional community to come back to. You're back, new and improved, with both skin and conscience clear. And you look marvelous.
Yep, that's pretty cute. Okay, well now it's time to get down to the brass tacks, as they say. So you're going to have to take notes because this is going to be a very intense study with a study of some Hebrew words that are going to reveal a mystery in this double Torah portion. The first thing I want to do is to clear up something in this teaching about Tazria. Only part of Tazria is about leprosy. To begin with, Tazria is often mistranslated in English as the word for leprosy. My eSword labels Tazria as leprosy, but that is not correct. The translation of leprosy comes not from the Hebrew word Tazria, but from the Hebrew word Sara'at. That word is Strong's 6883. It is Tzadi Reish Ayin Tav. And it means leprosy. But as I said, Tazria is not the correct translation for leprosy. So we're going to learn more about this. As you know, Torah portions are most often named from some words in the first or second verse. The first words of the Tazria Torah portion start in verse 2. It is the 13th word, and it is the first distinctive word in the Torah portion. In English, those words say, "If a woman has conceived seed." The word for leprosy, Sara'at, is not even in the first chapter of Tazria, let alone in the beginning verses. There is another word there. It is Zara. It is Strong's 2232, and it is Zayin Reish Ayin, Zara. It means to sow, figuratively to disseminate, plant, fructify, bear, conceive seed, set with, sow or sower, and yield. Now this is the beginning of the mystery. The word zara means to disseminate. So let's contrast that with inseminate. To inseminate means to sow seed into one place, an enclosed place, like a womb, or when you stick your finger in the dirt and put some seeds into the little hole. To disseminate means to scatter seed. It's like using your hand to fling seeds everywhere so you have no control over where they go. They just land someplace. When you inseminate, you control the location. When you disseminate, you lose control of the location of those seeds, and that's a very important point for us later on in this teaching. The word for leprosy does appear in the next chapter, and just like Zara, there is a mystery in the word leprosy, or Tzara'at. We went over that word first, remember? Again, it is Tzadi Resh Ayin Tav. The word Tzara'at has a primitive root word, and that primitive root word is Tzara. It is to scourge, that is, to be stricken with leprosy. It also means leper or leprous. And it is Strong's 6879. It is Tzadi Resh Ayin. Now, in order to get to the revealing of the mystery, we have to look at the next word, which is Metzora. Metzora is Mem Ayin Tzadi Resh Ayin. The rabbis associate it with an acronym. That acronym is Motzi Shem Ra. And they say that it has to do with one who slanders, literally, one who brings out a bad name. The last three Hebrew letters in Metzora are the same letters in the word Tzara'at for leprosy. Metzora has an open mem on the front. So that's how these two Torah portions are connected. Now here's the mystery. When you put the two Torah portions together, you get, she conceived a leper. Now this is very interesting because the rabbis teach about a person called the leper Messiah. The second thing we're going to learn about is about the sowing of the seed. But before we go any further, I want to tell you just how the Lord worked in this teaching. The Lord had actually shown me this combination of Tzara and Zara, which actually is Zara and Tzara. It's Tazria and Metzora, Zara and Tzara, and had shown me that and shown me how Zara means she conceives and how Tzara means leper, and that when you put them together you get she conceived a leper. And I'm just being overwhelmed and blown away by this, so I started to really dig in. And in the middle of my digging into the study and trying to get some commentaries and do some of that work, the Lord said, oh, just take a break. Why don't you go over and listen to Rico? Now, I have to admit, I haven't been listening to Rico's teachings for quite a while now, just because I haven't had time. And this is not anything against Rico. I love his teachings, but I just haven't had time to. I always mean to every week, just never seem to get over there. But this week I really felt compelled to go listen to Rico. And so I had just about all of this teaching put together, and I went over and listened to Rico, and the first thing that came out of his mouth had to do with the leper Messiah. I shut that down right now, and I went out on the web and I started looking. And I'm telling you, thank you, Brother Rico. I mean, the Lord just works. The Lord is trying to reveal things to His people at this time and trying to prepare us. And the rest of this teaching is all about preparing you as priests in the order of Melchizedek. Now we'll continue. But first, let's look at the prophecies of the combined Tazria Metzora that says she conceived a leper. We're going to go to Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The Babylonian Talmud explains something about Isaiah 53, verse 4 that I just read. It says, the Messiah, what is His name? The rabbis say, the leper scholar, as it is said, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him a leper, smitten of God and afflicted. Wait a minute. Our Bibles don't have that word leper in Isaiah 53, verse 4. Well, here's the explanation. The Hebrew words in Isaiah 53, verse 4, stricken and smitten, are nagua and muke, and they are interpreted by the rabbis as referring to a leprous condition. Part of the Talmud's teaching on the leper Messiah is contained in a conversation between Rabbi Joshua ben Levi and the prophet Elijah. The rabbi asks Elijah, when will the Messiah come, and by what sign may I recognize Him? Elijah tells the rabbi to go to the gate of the city where he will find the Messiah sitting among the poor lepers. There is also a strange story about a rabbi who is riding with a young student. He stopped his wagon at the hut of an old leper, horribly affected by the disease. The rabbi climbed down and spent a great deal of time with the poor man. When he returned to the wagon and recommenced his journey, the puzzled student asked the rabbi who it was that he had visited. The rabbi replied that in every generation there is a Messiah who will reveal Himself if the generation is worthy. The leper he had been meeting with was that Messiah, but the generation was not worthy, so the Messiah would depart. Now, where did this leper Messiah idea come from? This odd concept must have arisen from the rabbis as they struggled with Isaiah 53. They saw the Messiah's sufferings as leprosy, and because of His suffering, they split the Messiah in two, one a sufferer and one a conqueror. But Yeshua Himself proves what the rabbis say, and the combined title of Tazria Metzora, which is, she conceived a leper. He spent quite a lot of time with lepers. In fact, He healed some. Of all the different kinds of people Yeshua spent time with that were sick with various illnesses, more is said about lepers than any other disease. Why is this? Well, let's go to Luke 17:12. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Well, there we have a group of 10 lepers, and we know that He healed them all, right? And we who understand the two-house teaching will also understand these lepers represent the house of Israel. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 8 and start at verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, my Master, if You will, You can make me clean. And Yeshua put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be you clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Yeshua said to him, See you that you tell no man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony to them. Yeshua also had a friend called Simon the leper. In Mark chapter 14, verse 3, it says, And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat. There came a woman, having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. One of the signs that Yeshua is the Messiah has to do with Matthew 11:5, where he told John's disciples to tell John, The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. These healings all alluded back to various prophecies, two of which are in Isaiah. Isaiah 35, verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And then in Isaiah 42, starting in verse 18, Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf, as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as Jehovah's servant? She conceived a leper means our Messiah came as something so lowly. Going from being God to being human is on the same scale as a human going from being totally healthy and vibrant to being a leper. That's what the Messiah in this Torah portion is teaching us about himself. He teaches us how far he was willing to go to heal us, redeem us, restore us, and he even gives us the prescribed method of healing in the same teaching. I'll tell you what that healing method is in a minute. So now we see one of the mysteries of Tazria Metzara. It is what Yeshua did for us in becoming the leper Messiah. He went from being God to being human. He went from being with the Father to being with lepers. He gave up a lot of his authority and power to do that. In Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5, it says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Yeshua Messiah, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to death, even to the death of the cross. Death, leprosy, spiritually they're the same thing. They both get you isolated and put out of the camp. They're both painful, a scourge, and leprosy kills the body. Yet Yeshua was willing to do that for his people. He put on the body of death, which was the equivalent of a body with leprosy, to become our leper Messiah. Now, do you remember earlier in this teaching I said the word leper, tzara, means to scourge? Well, Yeshua was scourged on our behalf. John 19:1 says, Then Pilate, therefore, took Yeshua and scourged him. Now, let's take a look at how we get healed of leprosy. We're going to look at the healing of leprosy before we actually look at what leprosy is. We know that healing is one of the things he came to do for us. Isaiah 53:5 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." It is in Metzara that we learn the way to being healed of leprosy. This is done by letting the high priest examine us. It's done by going before the high priest so that he can examine us. It's done by being willing to go before the high priest. And we have to keep letting him examine us until he declares that we're clean, however long that takes. And that examination is so detailed that it looks at those tiny white hairs. That's really getting detailed. Who is our high priest? It's Yeshua. We have to constantly go before him with our disease to let him examine us until he declares us clean. This examination taught in Metzara that we are to submit to is not a physical examination. Leprosy, as it appears in the Torah, is not a physical disease. It is a spiritual disease. There is no medical record of this kind of disease on earth as it's described in the Torah. Even the rabbis say it is a spiritual problem. The double Torah portion, Tazria Metzora, is about the Messiah seed that was conceived in Tazria to contain and heal the spiritual disease that causes the spreading of Metzora, the seeds of leprosy. Let me say that again. This double Torah portion, Tazria Metzora, is about the Messiah seed that was conceived in the first part, Tazria, to contain and heal the spiritual disease that causes the spreading of Metzara, which is the seeds of leprosy. Now we must ask the question, why would Yeshua give up so much? Why would he give up his place next to the Father, his life in heaven, much of his authority, to bring himself so low for us? Well, it is because we are infected lepers. He bowed himself so low in order to show us the way out of our spiritual sickness. The seeds of tzara that we scatter everywhere, willy-nilly, are all the little nasty things we do to each other. It's not just Lashon Hara. It's not just gossip. But it starts with gossip. The mean, evil things we do to each other starts with gossip. First the gossip, then the revenge planning with all the friends we've gossiped to, and then the actual hurtful thing that gets done to the unsuspecting person. Gossiping is based on our unwillingness to obey Yeshua when he said we should go to each other to reconcile before bringing our gift to the altar. By the way, that is not a New Testament teaching. That teaching is in the Torah. We are never to bring a gift to the altar unless we've got everything else cleared up first. Why do I say gossiping is based on our unwillingness to obey his instruction? Because when we reconcile with someone, we have nothing more bad to talk about behind that person's back. It is only when there is a desire to be destructive to someone that we go ahead and gossip. That's what gossip is. It's the destruction of another person for the benefit of our own ego, and it's a deliberate choice. And we throw those seeds around, and they go where we know not. I'm not talking here about sharing our hurts and asking our brethren to help us bear our burdens. There are reasons and protocol and ways to get help with problems that we're having with other people. In fact, in Galatians 6:2, it says, "Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Messiah." I'm not talking about when you need a salve because someone is trying to destroy you by talking to everyone else instead of you about what they have against you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you have a problem with someone and you refuse, even when they ask you to, come and talk and reconcile. That's gossip. That's Lashon Hara. It is destructive speech without the desire to do the right thing toward the person you're talking about. You see, those speech seeds go out into the world. Our deed seeds also go out into the world. They tsara, or disseminate, and cause a conception in the world at large. And when we say and do things about people to others without the desire or willingness to stop or to try to make up or reconcile with that other person, our seed is leprous, and we are then spreading contagion everywhere. Yeshua lowered himself to be the equivalent of a leper on our behalf so that he could heal us. He said in Matthew 9:12 that they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You see, he is our physician to heal our leprous contagion. Shabbat Shalom.